It's time for Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Laker Hockey Talk is brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. And now with Laker Hockey Talk, here's the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to our June edition of Laker Hockey Talk. Bill Crawford and Damon Witten talking our favorite subject, even though it's not quite summer yet. It's still officially spring for another week here, but we're going to get into it for the month of June. This show will be podcast. You can listen to it at your leisure, and we will have another program in the middle of the month of July, same in August, same in September, as we try to keep abreast of what's going on with Laker hockey. And Damon, this past week, Mark Vasey put out a very good story, I thought, about GPAs, and the Laker hockey team led the way in the athletics department with a team GPA of about 3.42 and some outstanding classroom performances by just about everybody, but in particular, listed Roman Bengert, Melvin Carlson, Nick Kossoff, who's graduated, Miroslav Muka, and Jacob Nordquist. That's kind of an international crew right there, as being the top student athletes in hockey. And that's a great thing to have a high GPA for a team.
Yeah, well, it was. And good morning, and great to be on talking Laker hockey. But, you know, certainly that's important. You know, retention rates in athletic departments are always strong. I think a lot of schools, it's pretty common for athletics to outperform the general student body with their grade point averages by a little bit. And there's certainly some resources that help. And I think the structure of a student athlete's day helps. You know, our guys typically do better in the season when there's so little time to be distracted and you know, not be on you know, on a good itinerary there. And when we get out of season, all of a sudden they get extra free time and they get a little bit loose with their things and kind of procrastinate a little bit more. But you know, it reflects on our culture of our team. We've talked a lot about that this past season and what we're trying to build. You know, I think for myself, that's how I was wired. I thought that was important as a student athlete back when I played. My parents instilled that on me, and I think as the coach of the program, that's something we want to be known for. You know, it's when we recruit these guys, we put a lot of attention to their performance in the classroom. And it's not to say that all these guys came in as great students. You know, we're not afraid to maybe take a chance on a guy that hasn't performed as well. And, you know, even guys like that, for the most part, have done well. But we certainly talk a lot about it. It's important to us that, you know, they represent our program well in the classroom, around campus. And part of that's not only, you know, going to class and attending class and you know, being involved in their classes, but then performing when the test comes, when exams come. You know, we want guys who do a great job there. So really proud of their effort to get a 3.42. I think that's really outstanding. You know, led the department. I think when we got here, it's pretty significantly higher from when we got here. And, you know, for whatever reason, you know, part of it, again, I think we focus on it. One of the best stories, I'm not going to use a name, but we had a guy who had, you know, below a 2.0 first semester. And, you know, we were a little bit late recognizing his struggles and his challenges. And I think that's a two-way street. You know, our players have to trust coming to us and letting us know they're having a hard time. Sometimes that's just classes. Sometimes there's things going on in their personal lives. But once we found out about that, we put him on a good plan. You know, he met daily with an assistant coach and spent time with him in study hall and just really focused on it. And I think when they see that, you know, that we honestly care about that, we want them to be successful. He went from that 1.8 to a 3.4, and you know, a really, really great story. And now he's poised to have a lot of success academically. So we're really proud of it. I'm glad it came out and people saw that. But the credit goes to those players, and they did a really good job.
Yeah, I think it's really good overall too. The entire athletics department did a good job. 3.15 as a department. Anytime you get over 3, you've got all those teams involved. That's very good. I think Dave Pateson emphasizes that, and certainly the coaching staff of all the teams does, and hockey really did a good job. And it's always interesting when you see that a couple of Swedes and a Slovakian are among your top student athletes as students.
Yeah.
These guys, they come from pretty good backgrounds. And, you know, with hockey, it's very competitive, too. I think if two or three guys see that everybody's in the library studying and working, they all want to kind of keep up with that. It's a contagious thing. And I think the example you just gave of the one player who was struggling a bit, who came around, that shows what we're talking
about. Yeah, really is that culture piece, you know, when you have your leaders doing the right thing and you know, going to class and putting the proper emphasis to it, it filters down. And, you know, fortunately, our leaders, our best players, for the most part, are also, you know, pretty serious about their studies. And so that culture, you know, is hopefully it's there. You know, we're going to have years. I'm not sure we can sustain a 3-4. I think that's pretty remarkable. But, you know, we should be comfortably above that 3.0 because of that's the culture of our team. You know, I'm blown away, too. You mentioned Miro and Nordy. I'm probably missing a couple others. But those are English as second language guys that come in, transition to college hockey. You know, Miro's been in the country for a handful of years at Shattuck. But Jacob, you know, was his second year in the States. You know, Melvin Carlson, same thing. He'd never been to the States. It was his first year here. I think he was a 4.0 first semester. You know, for those guys to do that, it's tremendous and allows us to give a little kick in the pants to our English natives that, you know, why they can't do a better job. But, you know, really impressive group that way and proud of the guys.
Okay, we go from GPAs and the Laker hockey team having a great season in school to summer. And we're coming up now to the time when the Lake State Classic's this weekend. The Lake State Classic, always a big fundraiser for athletics in general, but the Blue Liners this year are combining their tournament. They usually have a golf tournament every year on their own. They're combining in with the Lake State Classic. A little more costly this year, but it's going to have more competition. There'll be more players involved. It's going to be at Wild Bluff out in Bay Mills this year, and it does come up tomorrow. And it looks like the weather could be a factor, but one way or the other, it should be a good fundraiser, and it's so important to Laker athletics.
Yeah, no question. I mean, you know, it is. It's a fundraiser. It's important to, you know, the university and to the athletic department. We were out there for the chamber event a couple weeks back, and I'm not sure the weather's going to be a whole lot different, a little bit of rain potentially and a little cool, but it's going to be a great morning and afternoon of socializing and being out on the course there. It's just a really important event. It's kind of late to do a whole lot here, but if you're listening and you know, haven't done anything yet, you know, there's still probably show up and get out there with the team or on the course or certainly afterwards for the lunch. But you know, a lot of Laker athletics being talked, a lot of Laker hockey being talked, and we're looking forward to a great event.
How about the players themselves now? Off season, most of our players we don't keep on campus. Very few of them are here where you can keep an eye on them. How do you make sure that all the guys who go home to Sweden and wherever else they might go, or into Canada or downstate in Michigan, adhere to a program you might have given them to stay physically fit and really be ready? It's so important to be physically ready come October.
Well, you got no chance if you're not doing it in today's world, and that's not even, you know, just for college athletes, but you're going down to, you know, 14, 15 year olds today in today's world with all the private, you know, coaches and strength condition coaches and specialists, which is, you know, great for the game, but it gets challenging. So yeah, it can be difficult, you know, to track this a little bit, and you know, there's different ways to really just touch and base with the guys and see how it's going. Nate Williams, our strength condition coach, has done an unbelievable job. He's got you know, programs for each player, a little bit unique to that player's strengths and weaknesses to build and go with that, but you know, a general format for all the guys. You know, Nate follows up with these guys pretty consistently as well, and you know, he's got a video series for the team that they can go if they don't know a lift or things like that. They can use that. Now, most of our kids that are in bigger cities, they're in Detroit, they're in Vancouver, or those surrounding suburbs, Toronto. You know, there's so many specialized coaches in those areas now that most of those guys are going to gyms and strength coaches there. And what they're doing is they're taking in their book or their program from Lake State and saying, hey, can we add this in, or this is what we're doing, and making sure, you know, they relate pretty well. But again, Nate's been just unbelievable for us in the weight room, doing a great job there. You know, and then the guys who aren't from those bigger cities, Tyler Anderson, we talked about, I think, last summer. You know, he's from a smaller town in Saskatchewan. He doesn't have the gym there, the personal trainer there. So Tyler actually, like Brendan McKay last summer and Gage Terrell, you know, Tyler's staying here all summer to work with Nate and to be around. I know, and you talked off air just before we got on, this is Tyler's last year in the program. He's only a junior, but because he played games after he turned 21, we weren't recruiting him quite yet at the time. You know, Tyler only has 3 years of eligibility, unfortunately. So this is a big summer for Tyler, and it's good to see him, you know, putting in that extra emphasis and time. And we get to see Tyler, Chase, and Ashton, you know, pretty much every day. They're in early in the morning as I come into work. They're finishing up workouts, and, you know, they've changed. I mean, their bodies look tremendous. tremendous. Nate's again doing just a phenomenal job. So we're looking forward to you know, those guys locally who we get to see, but also the guys who are following Nate's programs closely, because he's really good at what he does. He's been a huge addition to our staff.
Yeah, I think Nate Williams has done a great job. Natalie Reynolds did a really good job as trainer. Now Natalie's moving on. What's the situation there? Have we got some candidates there that we're interviewing and taking a look at? Because, you know, it's very important to hockey to have a really competent trainer, and she was, and so we need to get somebody at least as good as Natalie was, and it's not easy to do.
Yeah, no, you know, the process is just kind of starting with that actually this week, with the posting going up, and I think we've got, you know, five to eight applicants already in, and the postings have just been a couple days old. So, you know, there'll be a lot of interested in good candidates. It's a younger pool for us, the way it works typically, but I, you know, we met yesterday, the committee, and you know, a couple really good people already involved that have been different levels of pro hockey and college hockey, and you know, we feel good. Obviously the duties of that spot also include some other sports, and so the candidate ideally will have a strong hockey background along with, you know, tennis and golf, that rotational kind of thing that they deal with in their sports. So you know what, we'll have to go through that process. We're hoping you know, by mid-July that will be done. We don't want to wait too long on it and kind of jump right into it, but it is a little bit early because it just got posted.
How about Nate now himself? He's you know, always these people who have these talents like training and weight training and strength training are looking for jobs. Is Nate going to stick around this year at this point?
Yeah, well, we hope so. I mean, obviously, we'd love to have him back. He's, again, just he's phenomenal at what he does. And if we are fortunate enough to get him back, I would imagine that'll be, you know, the cap of it, because he will have some opportunities to really quickly move up in the strength conditioning world. You know, St. Louis Blues is where he came from, and you know, it'll depend a little bit what they have. There might be an opportunity for him to get back with St. Louis, which is close to home for him as well. So you know, we're probably not going to win a recruiting battle with the NHL, and you know, obviously game 7 you know, just wrapped up, so you know, we'll kind of cross our fingers and hope that St. Louis doesn't, you know, call his number. But again, hoping he's back. He's unbelievable at what he does, and we'll know more here in the next couple weeks with that.
All righty. You're listening to Laker Hockey Talk, our June edition. Bill Crawford along with Damon Witten. We're going to take a break in the program here. Our sponsors are H&R Block and Parker Hardware. We'll hear from them. We'll be right back with more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
Everybody knows that H&R Block is the premier tax preparation group in the nation, but did you know that H&R Block offers year-round bookkeeping and business services that will help your small business cut costs, make profits, and streamline the business end of operations? From payroll and bookkeeping to expert tax prep and advice, see the friendly folks at H&R Block on I-75 Business Spur in the Michigan Sioux. Call 635-5970. Put H&R Block to work on your small business. You'll be glad you did. H&R Block wishes the Hockey Lakers success.
Hi. This is Scott from Parker Ace Hardware. At Ace, we make painting a simple pleasure. Ask one of our friendly, knowledgeable Ace associates about our Ace Royal Paint, a high-quality paint at a price you'll love. You'll find Ace Royal Paint starting at an everyday low price of just $19.99 a gallon. It's another reason why, from a simple start to a fabulous finish, Parker Ace can help make your next painting project perfect. Parker Ace, the helpful place. Stop by Parker Ace Hardware. We're looking forward to serving you real soon.
Stop by Parker Ace Hardware at 819 Ashman, downtown Sioux, Michigan.
And now back to Coach Witten and Bill Crawford for more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
Welcome back to Laker Hockey Talk. Bill Crawford, Damon Witten talking Laker hockey. Damon, I think if, I don't know about how the coaching staff looks at it, you guys are very optimistic and very positive all the time on what this team is doing. We had a great year last year, finished in fourth place, won a home playoff series against Bemidji State. Really got a lot of fans fired up. I thought it was a really good ending to the season, even though we lost 2-1 and 2-0 at Mankato to bow out of the playoffs and finish the season. But I think the big concern right now would probably be offensive production. We lost 53 goals and 110 points. He went out the door with graduation last year, led by Diego Cuglietta and Anthony Nellis. But we're returning 50 goals, led by Max Humitz with 16 and Braden Gelsinger with 10. And then it kind of drops off. So we need more production. And I know what coaches usually say is we're looking for people to step it up, become better than they were, and that will make up for it. I think defensively, and goaltending, this team's pretty solid. The big question would be offensive production.
Yeah, well, no question. I mean, you've nailed it to a T there. We lost some really key seniors, throughout our lineup, but certainly the three senior forwards, Cap by Diego's 25 goals is going to be the big question mark. You know, I think we feel, good about our group coming back. Certainly some question marks, who's going to continue to play there. You mentioned Max Humitz already. We're going to need Max to have a career year as a senior. Braden Gelsinger, Brendan McKay, Basilico, Ian Johnson. Those seniors are going to have to be really good for us and lead the way. I'm not sure, I guess on paper you can't just sit there and say, well, this guy is going to get 25 like Diego did. Diego led the country in goals, and that's not an easy feat to accomplish. So, we might be more by committee next year, but we do feel like we have, the ability to overcome what we lost. It won't be easy. Not only what they, the stats you just read off, but what they mean to us in the locker room and leadership and experience, all those things were really key by that senior class. So no question on paper, that's the big question mark. How are we going to replace that offense? Again, we feel good about guys like that, Mira Muka stepping up, Yuki Miura stepping up, guys internally, Ash and Calder obviously building off a strong freshman year. Guys like that will have to step up. And then the injection of talent coming in with our young guys. We're going to need one or two of our young guys to come in and have really, strong freshman years, just like Ash and Calder did, just like Pete Viat. Those guys have the ability to do that and step up. So, Louis Bidon's got a great track record. Dustin Manns has a great track record. Those are guys that will look to grab a role and replace some of what we lost. And then, as you mentioned as well, our back end, we feel like we're tremendous from the back end out. Merrick Mitten's back, along with Roman Bangert back, is a great starting point for us in the pipes. Seth Eisel coming in to compete with those guys will be really good. But that back end is really, I think, going to be critical, not only with the goaltending, but returning really essentially five of our top six defensemen. That's going to be key. Those guys are going to have to, make sure we're really good early on, especially with a really difficult schedule. In the offense we got from our back end was really good as well. So, that'll be important, returning those guys. Obviously, guys that are ready to contribute as well, like Samandel, Mitch Oliver, who have been around a year, and then Manera coming in along with Arvid Henriksen. So that back end is going to be really important for us. We want to continue to get offense from them, but be great defensively early on, and then kind of let's see how we develop offensively and how we replace what we lost.
Yeah, I think defensively, just rock solid back there. You got Colin Sackleman back and Lucas Keibel, and I thought Jacob Nordquist was outstanding as a freshman. No reason to think he won't be even better as a sophomore. And Tyler Anderson, we were talking about him earlier, working hard this summer to become bigger and stronger. He's pretty big and strong to start with, so he's going to be a moose out there. And he could be a real difference maker. He can already manhandle just about every forward in the league, and if he's getting stronger, that'll be even better. Alex Samandel got a lot of good experience last year. Will Rydell's been good for us for 3 years now. There's no reason to think he won't be a really good player. And I think Mitch Oliver is going to add some toughness back there, too. Defensively, I don't worry about anything. Yeah. And goaltending, we should be good. I think it's production. And, you mentioned Manns and Bodone, and we've got to get something out of Selivanov. And Bluger's got to be a player, whether he scores or not. He's got to be a good offensive player to set up people. And I think guys like Pete Vallette could really pick it up. He had 2 goals last year. I could see him scoring 10 on chances alone.
Yeah, he did. He generated quite a bit, as you mentioned. A couple posts I know off the power play. And so, yeah, it's and Pete got some real good opportunities. He earned opportunities to be a power play guy and play with some top guys. And then as we kind of loaded up those lines with experience, he shifted to a line with some younger guys. But no, we need Pete to come in and be ready to go. And those other guys you mentioned, I forgot Will Rydell earlier on, but there's no question he can take a step as a junior defenseman. Going back to Tyler Anderson and those guys, both him and Mitch Oliver led the BCHL in goals, when they played in that league, not in points, but in goals. So both guys, Tyler's an offensive weapon. He's one of the best shooters I've seen in many, many years of coaching college hockey. And he's not shown that yet at our level, but I think with the summer he's having, he's going to have an opportunity to take a step there. And again, Mitch Oliver's going to add offense as a scorer there. So a lot of different ways we're going to go about it. But we're going to be great defensively to start off with, and then let that offensive game, the offense is going to have to build and kind of see who shakes out where. But I think we can survive early on because of our experience on the back end.
Is there anything new on the recruiting front at this point? I did note that a couple of young guys have committed for the future. We can't use names. They haven't signed NLIs, but it looks like you're still working pretty hard on that angle of things. And I guess we're going to cut back on real young guys, but you know, we're still working on recruiting at all times.
Yeah, well, and I think when you, you know, if you had the ability to go into our, just I guess live a day in our shoes, and we look at our board nearly every single day, you know, as we project out 3-4 years, you know, there's not much room. So I don't know how some schools are doing it with 35, you know, 42 commits. It's not realistic that those guys are ever going to set foot on those campuses. So I don't think we ever want to get in a place where we've got that list of 20, 25, 30 guys. I mean, it's just, to me, it's not good for our game in college hockey. So, you know, we can't have a giant list because, again, we're projected out pretty well. But we're always looking to add pieces. As you mentioned, you know, we got a commitment, verbal commitment just last week, I think it was, from a real skilled player, was one of the top scorers out west there. And, you know, we're looking. You know, we're a little bit concerned about our size moving forward. We don't want to, you know, give up size a whole lot. So we're trying to find the right pieces where we're not getting too small. But no, always looking, always out. Zach's had a real productive summer so far, and Yorkie, they'll both hit the road here later today to get out and go again. It's some camp seasons and things like that. A chance to cover a lot of ground in some of these camp situations where there's a lot of players out there. So we like where we're at. We're always looking. I think this year we would have liked to have some money late because of all the decommitments and coaching changes, where we, you know, we tried to get involved in a couple guys but didn't have the money available. So you're always kind of walking that fine line of getting the players you want early on or having some money available late, and that hit us a little bit this year. But like where we're at, and those guys are doing a good job on the road.
All right, you're listening to Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. We're going to wrap it up here this morning. We'll talk a little bit about the schedule. We talked about this in May, Damon, and we've got a tough schedule, I think, with who we play. It's a great schedule for home and away and when we play so-and-so, et cetera. It's much better than it's been along those lines. You're going to make a trip early in January up to Alaska and stay up there a week and play both the teams, Anchorage and Fairbanks, before you come back home. But, man, you start off the season with Scott Borick's Merrimack Warriors here on the 5th and 6th. That's a Saturday, Sunday in October. Then you've got Denver coming in here. That'll be a tough test for a team that's maybe struggling trying to find offense. And then you go to Michigan and Notre Dame back-to-back weekends. I mean, that's a tough start, really, with who you're playing.
Yeah, no question. I mean, I think it'll be arguably, you know, one of the top schedules in the country, and that's by design. You know, we like playing those teams. You know, I think our team is built decently to handle that competition. You mentioned, and we've already hit the where's the offense going to come from, and there's some tough teams to find that. You know, Notre Dame is one of the best coach teams defensively, certainly, always year to year, and Cale Morris back in that. So, you know, you're looking at those things. You're watching some of the signees, and Michigan just had a kid sign again the last week or two. So, you know, you're keeping an eye, starting to get ready and build that database of what we have to do to be successful there. But I think Merrimack's going to be a real interesting weekend as well. They've got a huge freshman class coming in that are all, you know, kind of chomping at the bit to start the culture there with Scott Borick and the way their identity, how they're going to play. So we know we're going to see a real desperate, hard-hitting, you know, heavy team that's coming in. And then, you know, Denver's going to be unbelievable as well. They'll be a preseason top five, maybe top three, you know, and it's going to be really challenging to find a way to create offense against them and win hockey games. But that's certainly the goal. You know, we feel like we can beat anybody on our schedule this year. It won't be easy. Certainly getting on the road and playing at Michigan, at Notre Dame, those are tough games. But, you know, we schedule those to prepare our team to, you know, be ready to win a tournament in the WCHA and get back to the NCAA. So that's our approach, and we're really excited, and we use that early on. You know, we haven't you know, done that in the past, but before our guys left, day one of our postseason lift, you know, guys get a week or two off there to recover and heal. But we posted that opening 4 weeks, our non-conference series, just to let the guys know the opportunity we have in front of us, and we're excited about that opportunity.
All righty, we're going to wrap it up here. That's our June edition of Laker Hockey Talk. Don't forget the Laker Classic coming up tomorrow out at Bay Mills. You can still get involved in that. Damon, any final words here this morning?
No, just enjoy the Sioux. We've got the Maha camps coming up, so if you need to beat the heat, if the heat ever comes, you can come in to Taffy Able to watch the top 04s in the state and the top 05s in the state at Taffy Able as we host Michigan Amateur Hockey Association's Bantam Festival. We'll have some local representation there as well, which is always really exciting to see our local kids lined up against the best in the state. But hard at work, and hope everybody, enjoys the summer, and go Lakers.
Yeah, Lakers have hockey schools going as well, and those are pretty much filling up, if not filled up by now. And hey, if nothing else, if you need to get in out of the rain, you can do that at Norris Center as well.
Always a great place to be. And yeah, I'm glad you mentioned it. I forgot July 8th, July 12th through 12th is our week one of Laker camps. That week is nearly full already. And then July 15th through 19th is filling up. So if you're getting your kids in, grandkids in, and make sure you do that sooner than later, because we will have to cap those at some point, and getting really close on week one.
All righty. That's Laker Hockey Talk for the month of June. We'll be back mid-July with another edition. Bill Crawford for Damon Witten. So long on ESPN 1400.
You've been listening to Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400, brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. Join us again soon for another edition of Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400, WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie's sports leader.